This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, everybody. Sorry we're a bit late, but it's one of those things. So I'm Jonathan Kidd, and welcome to the Chelsea Football Fancast, fueled by Guinness and powered by celery. Though, in fact, this week, fueled by Lemsip and powered by those lozenges you suck to avoid a sore throat, of which I've had far too many. I've been suffering, and so has Dr. Mark here, who has bravely attended despite being polaxed last week by man flu. And I coughed and spluttered all through the Everton game at the Bridge, but my manservant, Mr. Sopwith, in the East Stand middle, gave me a nice tartan rug and a third. Anxious. The blood pressure rose and the heart experienced several palpitations resembling the drum pattern on Blue is the Colour. And this was the first time this season we've won in the last few minutes, and please, please, could it possibly be the last? My manservant was considering mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, but I rallied after William's goal. Phew. So, the name of the show tonight is the Chelsea Football Fancast, Quick Nurse, I'm Having a Heart Attack. Though Chidge wanted William, it was really 1-0.
I like that.
Do you like that? Could you explain that to me?
It's a Smiths reference.
Oh, you see, yeah.
William, it was really nothing.
Yeah, good, good.
By Morrissey.
I'm so pleased that you're here, Charlie. I'm so pleased, because I wouldn't have got it. Anybody else would have got it?
The Smiths songs were so
depressing. Got a clue.
No, I've got a clue. No. I was never a Smiths fan. I like that one, Charming Man. I like that one. Yeah, well, who did they support then? Weren't they Liverpool supporters? Were they Manchester United supporters, weren't they?
Johnny Marr's Man City.
Man City is, yeah, of course. Anyway, that's good to know.
Anyway. Into us.
You may have noticed, everybody, it's me again and not the great Stamford Chidge, as once again he's away. And last week he's at a nudist convention in Littlehampton. Anybody get that guy?
Yeah, very good.
Thank you very much. This week he's in Bognor at a Sabutio competition. Everybody know what Sabutio is? Now, here's a team. You see, look. That's my Chelsea Sabutio team. You see, look, I put little numbers on them. And it's flick to kick, you see. So you get the player. And anybody want to be in goal here? So we'll have to lift this up so we can see it. So could you be in goal for me? He's got his stick, you see. And I then go. It doesn't normally go through the goal like that. Well, that's tough, you know. Anyway. So that's 1-0 to me. Anyway, you flick to kick. Now, Chidge has two teams entered, Chelsea and Chidge FC. Here's his Chelsea team. Cech, Cole, Terry, Droy, Chopper, Cook, Lampard, Wilkins, Nevin, Dixon and Osgood. And it's 4-4-2. And this is his Chidge team, Chidge FC. Chidge, 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 Chidge and Chidge. They're all Chidge. And consequently, it's Chidge takes the goal kick. Controlled by Chidge. Laid off beautifully by Chidge. Chip over the defence by Chidge. Oh, beautiful 1-2 between Chidge and Chidge. Chidge slides a deft, crisp pass to Chidge on the D. He shoots. Goal! Beautifully, beautiful shot in the left-hand corner of the goal. Pass a stretched-out stick of the goalie. 1-0. Anyway, more about Sabutio later. And we will be having our specific Sabutio teams that of the best sides that you like and the worst side. Dan, isn't that right? So enough about that. He's not here and I am. I'm Jonathan Kidd. We've got a cute bench here tonight. Lovely, cute, slightly ill cute bench. Bursting with brain power and insightfulness, and proof they've been eating a lot of fish, which is very good for brain power. Resident doctor of football, Dr. Mart.
Good evening.
Great to have you here. We'll be delving. I love you to have you here.
Having under been the weather last week.
Yeah. I think it suits you there. I think it's quite good for a football physician to be ill occasionally. You've cured yourself. We'll be delving into the deep well of your engineering knowledge tonight about what on earth CFC can do about redeveloping the bridge. You have a few clues for
an interesting
us.
Subject.
Good. Our fluent, articulate journalist Charlie Skillen is once again here to tell us about what we've surmised and got wrong about what's actually happening at our club. Lovely to have you here. Anything interesting happening in the world of journalism?
There's lots, but I'm more concerned that you and I have a one and two shot. I love it.
Yeah, but that's because your status has risen, isn't it?
I mean, get rid of Chiz and Sophie Rose.
As the show goes on, I'll actually be out. I'll be over here. It'll be just you.
That's great.
Any comments about Neil Ashton's diatribe against the Blues? Or you're not allowed to talk about that?
You
can talk about that later.
Only last week Ash wrote a great piece about the whole Chelsea youth system and how it's a wonderful thing and how it's grown. You know, it's just...
I like the fact you call him Ash. It's good.
Yes, it's his name.
I could think of a few things to call him.
One of them begins with A.
It was an opinion piece. It was a strong piece. It's his opinion. You know, you've got to remember... A lot of these guys are not Chelsea. Some of them are Chelsea fans.
No, I know.
They're not Chelsea fans.
No, they're not.
You know,
who does he support? Liverpool?
Palace.
Palace.
I'm only saying that on here because he doesn't hide that.
No.
He, like I said, only last week he wrote a fantastic bit about the youth team and how people like Morris and Myers have been integrated and that sort of thing. You know, he's not got some campaign against Chelsea, nor has anyone else. It's just
he's not a fan of Mourinho, though, is he?
He's not a fan of some of Mourinho's actions, which is, you know, possibly fair enough. I've met Chelsea fans that aren't either, so...
Yes.
You know, no one's got a campaign against Chelsea at all.
Okay.
But anyway...
Thank you, we'll talk about that
later.
The pertinent and always on the ball, Dan Silver, is also here. We're taking issue with most of my opinions, which is good.
Yeah.
Great to have you here. And on the benches, but not the benches, as it isn't really a bench, but it's a rather uncomfortable stool. It's the brilliant Andy Silverman, who is...
Thank you, JK.
We will be delving into your knowledge of the Blues.
Oh, that will be quite a long conversation.
Indeed. Well, I was hoping that when we talk about best teams in part five, that you'll be able to come in with a few that mirror my ancient qualities.
I will rack my brain.
If you could possibly. It'd be difficult for you to go further because I'm older than you. But anyway, if you want to be on the benches, which we don't have any, want to be in the position that Andy is at the moment, email us on chelseafancast @gmail.com, and that's chelseafancast@gmail.com. And there it is up on the screen. So what's coming up on the show tonight? Well, we'll be discussing the 1-0 victory versus Everton in depth, obviously, where we saw a start for our new signing, Cuadrado. And I gave him a French accent, which of course is rubbish. What should it be? Cuadrado.
Does that mean squared?
That's a good point, actually.
Interesting.
Perhaps it isn't. Perhaps his name is something like some other Spanish.
John Squared.
Yeah, and he's just given him that. That's his nickname.
One squared.
Yeah. In the same way that we never really know what any of our players' real names are. We just get their first names.
Especially the Brazilians.
The Brazilians, every time, So we've got... we're discussing who stood out for you in the game. We've got Jose's team selection, focusing on Cech and Zuma, obviously. Then we'll have a look at what we've termed Brannergate, the ludicrous persecution of Branner by the press, which just, to me, confirms Jose's view that here there is a campaign against us. And on a lighter note, there's Eden Hazard's new deal. And how do we feel about the run-in towards the remaining 14 or 13 games?
13.
Then we'll be dissecting tomorrow's game against Paris Saint-Germain in Paris and all that entails. And don't forget, we'd like to try and read them out as much as possible. You can also tweet @ChelseaFancast, there it is up on the screen, or post on the live chat page at Mixlr.com, which is actually, if you look at that, it looks as if, look at that, it's really like magic, it's a magic phone, it's disappearing, look at that, Mixlr.com/Chelsea/Fancast, during the show, tell us what you think about the games and anything else on Chelsea, but now, the moment you have been waiting for, it's my ratings. So they're not Chidge's or Ross's. I've given
them.
It's the end of the show. Goodbye. I've given 9 to Cech, 7 to Dave, 7 to JT, 8 to Zuma, 7 to Ivanovic, 8 to Azar, 7 to Matic, 6 to Remy, 5 to Ramirez, 8 to Willian, 4 to Cuadrado and 8 to Hazard. Yes, I thought he was poor, but I wasn't sure most of the game, so you know, they tied up in the run. Fabregas, I gave 6 to, and Droga gave 6 to you. Now, so chaps, who stood out for you in this? Now, let's debate these ratings that I've given first of all. Well, tell me why you didn't think Cuadrado was poor. I thought
You criticise journalists for being sensationalist. That is more spin than any journalist I've seen in the past year.
Yeah, I agree. There was no criticism of Neil Ashton at all. I'm kidding.
4 for Cuadrado is very, very harsh.
I thought he was very average.
I think, you know, you look at how we've played this season, especially those three players, and, you know, they barely changed, which is why Schürrle and Salah had to leave because they couldn't get in the side. You know, Cuadrado's game is all based on directness and pace. It's not based on intricate passing movement, which has been so the norm for this Chelsea team. It's going to be fantastically difficult, especially on a debut. The worst thing he could have done was hide away from the ball, not really get involved, which I don't think was the case at all. I think he got really involved. I think he started quite a few attacks. He passes Chelsea initiation by not being able to take a corner.
That's one of the reasons why I know. I mean, every single time he hit the first man, I'm afraid I started off with 10. I gave him 10 to start off with, and it just got...
You know. None of our players can take a corner.
He also seemed to be incapable of taking a free kick from anywhere. You get into a situation, any other team goes, right, we're in their half, we can get everybody out, we'll just centre it, and we just tap it to the next person.
We haven't had anyone who could take a corner since Belletti.
That's true, actually. Belletti was a great call.
He took a blinder.
Yeah. He did.
Even Graham Brasso.
He did. Yeah, it's true, actually.
But, you know, I think all you can ask on a debut is to kind of get involved, get stuck in, look a bit lively, and try and create something. I think he fulfilled all of that. I'm not saying I'd give him man of the match.
No, but they've been attempting to make out that it was a battle between him and Willian, weren't they?
That's the press trying to make a story of it.
But to me, they're utterly, completely different.
I thought
Willian was fantastic.
I think 4 is very harsh. You're judging him, someone who's... It's only about a week since he set foot in the club's training ground. He had about 10 minutes, was it? Maybe even less than that in the game before.
Villa.
I'm a harsh man, though.
You are a harsh man.
I am. You're a harsh man.
I remember you giving me detention at school. You're a harsh
man.
Yeah,
I was trash. I did. Shush.
It's going to take time. I mean, it's taken time for Hazard and Oscar and all the rest of them to learn to play together.
But do you think that's what we can allow them, though? I always think that a player needs to come in. You know, Zola came in. We didn't go, we've got to give him time. He just played wonderfully.
He's not going to hit the ground running.
You know, so.
Time for a break.
I think it's time for a break.
Yeah. It's time for a break.
That's what the hand signal said.
The only place for Chelsea fans. Footballfancast.com. Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to Chidge and the Boys on the Chelsea Football Fancast. Total nutters and proper Chelsea.
Or fanciest, as predictive text on my word processor tells me. I'm Jonathan Keeley. We've got Dr. Mart, Charlie Skillen, Dan Silver here, and the great Andy Silverman on the benches. But we were debating ridiculously low score I'd given to Cuadrado, and we didn't get onto the fact that Hazard was great in the game, I thought. He tends to disappear a little bit, but also the number of times he got fouled, you just despair of the referees and them. Mm. And they don't seem to... Don't seem to get it really that, you know, if he gets stamped on, he's lying in the pitch.
Fair play, they always target fair play.
His ankles must be made concrete.
He's the most fouled player in the Premier League this season.
He's led to 28 bookings, I think, or something.
He's been fouled, I think, 74 or 75 times, which is the most by a mile.
That's just the bookings, though.
Yeah. They're quite niggly fouls, they're not malicious or kind of niggly trying to.
The stamps and little clicks. That worst one was that one on his. We got kicked in the hamstring, he's left in the. Not on the Achilles tendon, he's just left in the corner lying down. That wasn't Stoke.
No, the one at Stoke when the fullback literally cut him in half.
Yeah. It was, what's his face? Bardsley.
The odious ex-Sunderland.
He'd clearly been told by the manager to, leave your imprint on him. Imprint.
Let him know you're there.
Let him exactly all of that business. But a quick talk about Cech, who was With
unbelievable.
Can't argue with the nine about.
Oh, completely phenomenal. That's phenomenal save.
That's almost worth a 10.
That save from point blank range with his legs was just incredible.
But also, he was talking about he anticipated it, didn't he? Because he was saying he was working out where the cross had come when they had a chat with him, which was superb.
You saw his body shape because he's almost getting to the left, but he stuck his foot out to the right and put it out. But that almost worth a 10 because that was a match.
It's
a match defining save.
Two goals, yeah. And then luckily stopped Lukaku from scoring. He'd have loved it.
Well, Lukaku was appalling. Yeah. Lukaku
he's still never scored at Stamford Bridge.
He's a unit, isn't he, though? I've forgotten how enormous
he is. It's dark when he comes on the pitch.
Yeah. he's a big old unit, but very ineffectual. Really ineffectual.
So I've got here, how big was anything on Twitter? Anybody got anything coming on Twitter from the gallery there? Twitter? Anybody? Hello? Speak now, forever hold your peace. It's a lovely shot, isn't it, Charlie? Just the two of us. Nice, isn't it? Hello.
It's like grandpa and...
Anything? Mixler?
Give him a word.
All I've got here in Mixler is congratulations, you're on. It says, well, that's very nice of it, congratulating me, but I'm not quite sure what I'm supposed to do then. Continue. Here it says, continue.
Oh, there you go.
Here we go. Yeah, Chelsea Phonecast. Oh, I'm so glad we got rid of Lukaku, says Tactics Wizard. Throwing his arms up every time he didn't get the pass, or it wasn't. Perfect drama queen. Hey kid, you're not world class yet. Well said, Tactics Wizard. I agree completely. Diane, C72 in
Crabtree.
Says we can't see Andy, which I think is much more important than anything. Andy, we can see you there.
I've fixed it.
But
I said the same. I'm moving around for you, Di. Can you see me now?
And Tactics Wizard also said Czech should never have lost the number one. Debatable. You get a nice competition. It's created, isn't it? See who he picks tomorrow night. Should be quarter hour, I thought. Anyway, so how big was the win? 7-point gap. City possibly demoralised because they won 4-1. Thought we were going to lose. Certainly Nasri had a go at us, which I felt...
It's not even worth airtime.
You know, no, it was just saying we weren't very good. You thought, hang on a second,
let's skip. He doesn't deserve any airtime.
Arsenal reject.
City, because I saw someone retweeted a couple of City tweets saying, yes, Chelsea dropped points, yes, goal disallowed. And then obviously, those are sort of games that change seasons. We kept 7 points. City probably thought, 4 points and that's it.
I'm getting worried by the fact that we just don't seem. I know it's difficult because they've set up deliberately to frustrate us and just to defend, haven't they? Really?
So always maintain.
It seems to be the case now with most of the teams. Is that going to be the case for the rest of the season? Yeah.
Maintain now. We win the league.
Of course you will.
The difference between a 5-point lead and a 7-point lead is huge. It's a lot more than 2 points because it's 3 games instead of 2 games.
Yeah, it's true.
We've still got the goal difference as well, haven't we?
It's Everton, it's not Luton. I know they've not had a good season. They're still a good team.
Got very disappointed with Naismith, who I actually think is a pretty good player and raises his game a lot.
He's very effective.
He's very
untalented.
He gets involved and he scores good goals. And he was playing left back. He was playing all the time. You think, well, actually, even when they broke, he wasn't up there. He's playing midfield.
They set up. Yeah. To frustrate us, and that's why they double back the fullbacks.
That's what they did, but it was a thoroughly deserved 3 points.
I mean, there's only one team who wanted to win it. Yeah.
What
and
about
Tim Howard has a worldie, didn't he?
Three
outstanding saves he made.
Yeah.
We actually did a stat the day afterwards that he had like a 50% better saves to shots ratio than he did in the whole of the rest of the season because he's been a large part of Everton's very poor season. He just pulled off an absolute.
Is that a reflection on him having a blinder or Chelsea having weak shots?
No. I think Everton played very well.
He had a really good game.
He did have a good game.
Matthew Harding Lowe, all of those saves were really good saves. None of them were weak shots. They were just outstanding saves.
But I don't think we shoot enough, though.
No, we don't.
We proved that by the goal that we scored, that we actually pulled the trigger and we got a luck. Nearly 3 deflections on the way in. If you don't pull the trigger, you don't hit the target.
It's the same with the offside one with Branagh, that still it was a shot on target. Considering Willian, he seemed to have upped his game since Cuadrado appeared to an extent. Yeah. Considering his shooting is just not...
Well, didn't Mourinho have a word with him, said he wants more goals from him?
Has he been on the training ground bashing the ball into the net?
I guess.
I actually think Willian has improved so much in the last month and a half, I think. Every big game we've had over the past few weeks, Man City, Liverpool in the Cup, and then Everton, particularly those three, I think he's been near enough our man of the match.
You can't fault his work rate. God, he works so hard, doesn't he?
I think Oscar would find...
If he wants to get in, you've got to raise his game, hasn't he?
I think I think what it's become is that if Cuadrado does come in, and I'm not saying Cuadrado's going to be first choice, but it looks like Oscar will be the one to drop out and William move into the centre, because William was great in the centre.
I think Oscar was actually playing quite well, and he's been rested in it.
He was poor against Villa,
wasn't he?
He's looking tired.
He seems to be good, Mourinho, if somebody doesn't perform terribly and he gives somebody else a go.
He's probably in a few days when he can go away and sit in the sun somewhere.
Non-stop.
Be better for that.
He's had non-stop football since the Olympics. Yeah. You know,
he was man of the match, wasn't he, about three games ago?
He has been playing well.
Yeah. He's a very, very good player.
We're very lucky to have you know, the first three players in particular, and I think bringing Cuadrado in gives them what they wanted with Schürrle, what Schürrle wasn't providing, and Salah certainly wasn't providing, which is another option, something a bit different, like I said, a bit more direct, you know, hopefully take a few more shots, you know, be a bit more pacey. And, you know, it's looking quite good.
Yeah. Zouma instead of Cahill. Yeah, Cahill played against Villa. What's the reasoning behind that, you think? Jose just giving Cahill a go to keep him involved?
I'm sure Mourinho sees the potential in Zouma, and Zouma's never let him down.
No.
Cahill, on the other
hand... He's speedier, isn't he?
...has not been playing well of late.
They had a good game against Villa.
I still say it's something to do with those two whacks on the head he had in successive games.
That's very true. And I think they seem to also work out that if Branner comes forward, which is Mourinho's tactic most of the time, you've then got a hole in that area that Cahill has to deal with, because he's always got two players to deal with in that instance, and he's found wanting, whereas Zouma appears to be very capable of dealing with that if Ivanovic goes forward, because he's much speedier.
Yeah.
And that wonderful in the Liverpool game when he got beaten to the ball by Sterling, and then he was
recovered. I think Zouma came in to handle the physical side of Lukaku, because they're real match physically. And Lukaku barely had a look in the whole game. I think he might find he rotate Cahill, Zouma, depending on who are playing. But having said that, I thought Cahill had a decent game against Villa. He looks a lot more short.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he looks a lot better.
He did have a good game.
Zouma must be as big as Lukaku, isn't he?
Yeah, probably.
Same size.
Sort of build,
I wouldn't argue with him, put it that way.
A brick out building.
I think the other thing that he's kind of worked out is that if Cech's playing, he likes, you know, if Zouma's playing, he likes to play Cech in goal.
Yeah, interesting.
He doesn't, because then you've got Cech and Terry to organise him.
That's right. To have Zouma and Terry is just has to be the case, because I think when Zouma played with Gale before, it just didn't work at all.
Whereas if you have Courtois, who probably wouldn't be as experienced or as confident in being the kind of leader of the
Czech. Pretty vocal as well.
You know, it's probably better to have Cahill with a bit more experience.
I haven't looked at that triangle. That'd be quite interesting to actually research that. Whether Zouma and Courtois play together.
They have, but not to as much success as they've seen the last couple of games. I think going forward, I think Dan's right. I think pretty much you'll see them, Zouma and Cahill, play about half.
But I like the fact that that's a strong subs bench that they can actually interchange, which I think he was trying to do early in the season. That's why it was such a problem for Bradford.
Christmas games.
Yeah. Some people come up to the required standard, and some like Salah and Schürrle, he's ruthless.
But they've got options beyond that as well, because you can play Ivanovic as a centre.
You could do. Yeah. And I think Branner just seems to be go from strength to strength, doesn't he? He's just
a fantastic player.
Completely wonderful player.
He's one of those key Mourinho players. He does a job. Sticks to the instructions. Yeah.
So we're back on Cuadrado here. Does he need much time to adapt? Do you think how long do we give him? This is my point that I was making before the break.
More than one game.
It's two now, though. It's one and ten minutes.
Probably about 90 minutes.
It's a massive cliche, but it's a very different league to the Serie A he's come into. Yeah. He'll hit the ground running. There's obviously talent because he's been watched. I think give him two or three games.
But he's not. I thought we were looking for a winger, and he's clearly not a winger. He's quick, and also gets back to defence. And he's very speedy.
He did get into the corners, into the byline.
Yeah. He put a lovely ball into.
I always compare them with the marvel that with Robin.
He did a lovely pirouette in the corner. Like 25 minutes in.
It's a lovely pirouette. Didn't have the ball though, did he?
You don't get old fashioned, Jonathan. You don't get old fashioned wingers anymore. You don't get those to the byline cutbacks anymore.
But I like them. I like them to be old fashioned.
Oh, Robin, Damien Duff.
Exactly. Even Pat Nevin. Pat Nevin was great at getting the byline, knocking it back for Kerry.
I think we'll have somebody like that.
I think he will. I think he will play on the flanks, and he spent a lot of his career playing playing wing back, which means he can do the kind of track back.
Well, he's fit enough, isn't he? Well, it's interesting to see that the replacement for Schürrle is somebody who isn't like Schürrle.
Yeah, exactly.
Schürrle's unfortunate.
But I'd like to ask a question here. What happens? This boy Traore has been playing very well. Just got a very good goal, didn't he?
Yeah.
Is he going to have a look in, or are we never ever going to use?
He's only 18. I think Mourinho rates him very highly, from what I've read, and they wrapped him in cotton wool.
Yeah, I think they're trying to do.
Piazza will go. I think Traore, from what I read, they wrapped him in cotton wool, almost house arrest. They could sign him when he turned 18.
Yeah.
But he looks like a real, really good player. Because was it last season, pre-season, he had a couple of really good goals.
He scored an absolute blinder against some...
Vitesse, funnily enough, maybe.
Was it?
I think it was. It was
against some ridiculous Malaysian select 11 or something.
I think all these kids are on loan, whatever. If they see something in them, they'll play. If they're not, they'll just be sold for profit. That's all it's about. It's a factory.
No, I know. It's clever, isn't it?
It's clever. It's a great way of getting around FFP, because
Bamford. You think, will Bamford ever make it? Will he be good
enough? I have a feeling he'll get a chance, Bamford.
Yeah, I think the plan with Bamford was that he was going to be the third-choice striker until the availability of bringing Drogba back for experience and all the rest of it came
That's going to be a one-year job, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
with that Drogba.
Drogba.
He says he wants to stay, doesn't he? Does that mean he's going to stay as a kind of mentor?
Question is, they've got Costa, Remy and Bamford for next season, sake of argument. Are those the three, Costa aside, the backups? Remy's good, but maybe hasn't enough game time. And Bamford is third choice.
I think Remy's...
Oh, I like him, don't get me wrong.
Having said that, wouldn't shock me not to see him there next year.
Yeah, depends who
sell him on for profit.
So who's in the frame, do you think, from a...
You're playing second fiddle to Costa, as when you play one forward. Yeah. Whoever's coming, you get to know that. And Remy's probably quite happy to play second fiddle.
Costa's not going to play every game, is he? He's been suspended.
He'll miss 12 games out of a 60-game season.
I'm sure it won't be the last suspension he has.
That's the edge about Costa.
He's targeted, isn't he?
Yeah. He wants. If he lost that edge, he'd lose.
Plays the game hard.
A big chunk of his ability.
Yeah, the Liverpool game for me was just. Occasions like that, you think this is why I'm a football fan and why I'm a Chelsea fan, because the crowd was just superb and the atmosphere.
He's a player you love to hate.
He played out of his skin. Even up by me. It's fed in my ear. I've got a little earpiece which
Mark Hughes at Man United.
Me up and says, we've scored,
unlike tonight.
Yeah, unlike tonight.
Hughes was at United. He was a horrible player, wasn't he? He didn't like to play against him. Mm. Since he came to Chelsea, you appreciate what a really good player he was.
I wish that I'd been able to play Sunday football, knowing that that's how you could play, because I was always terribly gentlemanly when I played Sunday football. I'm so sorry, I've stepped on your foot. Oh my goodness, I've elbowed you.
I'm sorry.
Sparky, when he hit his back to goal with his foot on the ball, let him get it off him.
His desire to head the ball. I remember
loved
going
a volley
up to
as well.
Yeah, the goal against Vicenza. Vicenza in the semi finals?
Vicenza.
Yeah.
Oh, he scored a goal.
Some Italian gaff.
Yeah.
Against Derby at the baseball ground where he. Who was the little fullback? We had a fullback who was. They were all touting to play for England, who then. Played. Yeah, exactly. Well done.
John Harley. Yeah.
Harley centred this ball, and Hughes climbed for this ball, which was out of his reach, and completely demolished the centre half. Going for it, absolutely fair.
Probably had stud marks on his back.
Bulleted it into the corner, and I was absolutely just sitting in the stand, level with the curl from Harley, and thinking, Hughes going to get this? Oh my goodness! Not only has he got it, he's at the bloke had to go off. He walked through
absolutely
him,
nailed it.
Absolutely fairly, because his eyes were entirely on the ball. Yeah. Just went poof through the bloke, went into the corner. He just went, oh, what a player!
He probably took his shirt off and he wondered whether he'd play Chelsea or the All Blacks.
But these are players you love for your club. You love these sort of warriors. Yeah. Costa's just immense.
But it's the effort. Part of it is the effort, isn't it? I love effort from players, as well as the skill. You feel they're committed to the club. It's that aspect.
It's 100% some of our few strikers.
Completely.
Heart on his sleeve.
The fact that it doesn't matter that they've come from another club. They're as committed to you as they you were to the previous club.
I've always said this whole argument with Chelsea, with one of the sort of first clubs to play a lot of foreign players. I don't care where they come from. They put on that blue shirt, they give 100%, I don't care where they come from.
I mean, we've had foreign players that have done far more for the club than some of the English players. It doesn't really bother me.
I've never cared.
So steeped in relatively recent history anyway, with Zola and Hullet. And I mean,
Di Matteo
and
club
for me.
As did Hoddle, despite all the players, apparently, according to the, the centre-forward of the Italian name, played for Ireland.
Cascarino.
Cascarino, put his book.
Can't score.
Have you read his book?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
meant to be very good.
Very, very good.
Potter did start the revolution.
He did. There's a story in it how he used to go in and he'd volley the ball, Hoddle, in the middle to all the players as a proof of what you can do from a training thing. And none of the players could do it. And
he'd just have that fusion ice cream, he'd lick himself or something.
Get sniffy and wander off. And they'd all feel inadequate, the players, you think. And Cascarino saying, we couldn't do what he was doing. But no, I agree completely. To have him appointed, which you've got to give to Bates, all these Bates detractors.
Bates deserves it.
Some things right, Bates.
He got a lot of things right. He saved the club from Marla. You can't say any bad word about Bates.
Right there. So,
what are
we doing?
Maybe one or two.
You're not a fan of Bates?
No comment.
No, I know, but I just said, he did do some things that were positive. Some things.
I think one thing.
How long have we got then, Steve? Long to go? Two minutes, okay. Anything on Twitter or Mixlr? Can we have a look, please? Oh, yes, I've got them up. I'm the Mixlr man. I can look at that myself.
I can play. What can you play?
Hang on, I've got to put my password in. Hang on.
Fill in a useless stat while you're waiting.
Okay.
I've got the same size calves as Mark Hughes.
Here we are.
Don't ask me how I know.
Oh, he's doing the tactics wizard, who's been very on the ball and active tonight. Yeah, he's talking about Branagh with the FA microscope. We'll get on to that. We're getting on to that. Yeah, all about Branagh and people.
It's not like Mixer to be off the cuff.
Yeah. Clive Lewis, Branagh is a total warrior, one of the best for commitment. Thank you, Clive. Absolutely agree.
Absolutely, spot on.
Diane makes brilliant tackles, is spot on, keeps his head. And Zuma's been a revelation.
Time for a break.
So anyway, it's as you can see, I haven't got anything in my ear, so we're doing this by gestures, and I haven't had the correct gesture from the from the gallery. But apparently it's
in a minute.
It's here we are, facebook.com, Chelsea Fancast, we're on there. Apparently we're up for a break, so we'll see you for part three.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to the Chelsea Football Fancast. Oh, yes!
Footballfancast.com.
You're even watching, you're listening to the Chelsea Fancast, and we'll be having a look now at the disgraceful way Branagh was examined by the press over the scuffle over the Gareth Barry incident, and then Hazard's new deal, then chat about the run-in. So the Branagh row, Branagh gate, as Chidge wants to call it, which I quite
was
like.
Was it the
actually.
Gate? Was
and,
it?
Yeah, the gate. There was Branagh opened it and then grabbed him round the neck, didn't he? But apparently, in that incident, I heard that good picture was that McCarthy trod on Branagh's foot in the course of that, and that's why he grabbed him round the neck. But the press just went berserk, and there was that terrible moment, that picture, they somehow managed to slow it right down, have that picture where Branagh's head is down, and it goes, he's bitten him, it's a bite. And you think, what about if we look at that, can we look at that picture again? Is it possible, Steve, look at that picture again? What about any of the other players in this situation doing anything? Mm. I mean, I have to say that one, the only person who looks as if he's doing anything is Branagh, but he's taking him away because he's got his face, he's about to go and attack. He looks as if he's about to attack the ref, doesn't he, in that situation? But you can do anything, you can slow anything down and make it look, you can understand that. Why didn't the ref just send him off rather than waiting for, I know they've been told, they're told refs, because I've refed, I'm qualified as a ref, and I was told by my teacher, he said, if there's ever a battle, he was a very nice man, but he said, if there's ever anything like that, he said, you just walk away. He said, you walk away and let the players scuffle, and you note down what they've done and their misdemeanours, and you then send them off accordingly. So you think, was he doing that? Or was, in reality, what he should have done was to have gone, yellow card, you're off. Then the situation would have been utterly diffused. It's the fact he sort of dithered a bit and it allowed JT to appear and to go around him and say, he's off. We didn't need to have this discussion. Of course he was off. It was a yellow card offence. It was obvious.
That was a problem because there was probably 10, 15 seconds. And whether he was trying to think, have I booked him before or not? Because then straight away...
That's probably what he was thinking. Oh, hang on a second. In my mind,
Barry,
he got away
with another one.
Well, he should have
early in the match.
Down anyway.
And of course he should. Yeah. Well, you should have. When I was a ref, I used to think... I was how dreadful I was as a ref, I used to think, he's got a yellow card. I can't wait for him to commit a foul because then he's off.
Because some referees are so quick to bring out the second yellow card before you have a chance to breathe. The second yellow card's out and they're off.
Yeah.
And that doesn't allow the situation to, like with that, to get carried away. Because the yellow card's out, Barry's off,
crowd
nobody
cheering.
Would have diffused all of that
that's
situation.
What I mean, yeah,
but it did seem absolutely bizarre. Also, utterly fueled by Martinez. Saying that it was he should have been sent off. It was entirely down to Martinez, who also gave this interview about how wonderful Everton had played and how superb they were.
Yeah, but managers always say that.
I mean, well, yeah, but and then to have a go at Ivanovic and everybody to agree. This is what I find so annoying.
I think if you read those headlines, very carefully worded. What, you know,
I like this. It's the journalist's view
well,
here.
You know, it's,
yeah, I just come in with the immediate, the passionate view of we're being.
Yeah,
you know,
that's the purposes of this show, isn't it?
Yeah, and the purposes of their headlines, isn't it? I go look.
The headline is to get a response.
Yeah, what you've got to remember is if you were two like Crystal Palace fans or whatever in the pub talking about that game, that's what you're going to be talking about. You don't really care that Willian scored.
Yeah, but
when Chelsea beating Everton 1-0 at Stamford Bridge is not that good a story, you know, the best. Story from a journalistic point of view of that whole match was Ivanovic,
of course,
that melee.
Of course, yeah. Because it's similar.
Particularly because of Martinez's quotes afterwards and Mourinho storming out of the press conference. It made for a very, very good story.
Yeah, no, you're right.
You know, the best story goes on the back page and you'll see six or seven papers.
It was a good story. The press enjoyed the story. I don't suppose anyone else did.
Well, it was that fear. I get worried that the FA, you think, oh goodness, the FA are going to be.
They're going to look at it objectively.
No, they do. They've got referees on the panel. They're going, nothing happened here. So they obviously watch it in real time, not slowed down to every moment of thinking, oh, he's bent down, he must be biting him.
And in fact, there's a couple of journalists tweeted saying, oh no, you know, I can't remember who it was, but it might have been Lipton. So no, there's nothing in that. It was, you know, a couple of journalists were quite fair. Mm-hmm. You know, one or two pick it up. Twitter goes mad. Social media goes mad and something. It becomes a massive issue.
I just fear the consequences of
while I was sitting,
of this kind of.
I couldn't see anything.
I can't read what that says.
Sit up. Stop slouching.
JK, sit up.
Stop slouching.
You have to do it in felt tip pen because I can't read it.
Yeah.
I quite like the way I'm very relaxed about it. Don't you think I look, you know, rather than sitting up? We could all copy me.
I think
we could all copy me. That's it. Exactly. Exactly. I love it.
Put your feet on the table.
Yeah, I'll put it up. And funny, I was just thinking, oh, I'm very relaxed. Isn't that nice? And I'm getting really relaxed.
Charlie, do you not agree? There was a story there, but there was also a non-story there that they then made up by saying about the bite that was quite evident there wasn't a bite. And I'm not saying from your point of view, but I mean that was predominantly more the Mirror, I think, actually, and then the Star agreed with them.
But that was swiftly dropped. Yeah. And what you've got to remember is that particularly that incident, mm-hmm. you know, that happened towards the end of a game that finished at, what, quarter to 10?
Mm. That's right.
You know, so reporters at that game for the first editions will have to file on the whistle, nothing like that. And editors are thinking they've made a snap judgment. If they've missed a bite, they've completely gnaws the whole thing up. Yeah. You know, so none of those headlines will say he bit him. They pose the question.
They all said
that will have gone through legal. And this, bear in mind, this is all happening in the space of maybe 7 or 8 minutes.
Oh no, I know it works.
So yeah, no, it works.
Yeah.
But also fueled by Martinez, who said he shouldn't have been on the pitch. He shouldn't have headed it.
Exactly. I mean, if Martinez hadn't done those quotes and Mourinho hadn't stormed out of the press conference, you probably wouldn't have seen it on any back page.
Once that message has gone out in the paper, though, regardless of how many times it's been through the lawyers and everything, in the eyes of the public, it's real.
Yeah, well, that's the point.
That's the whole point. So the damage is done.
But it would seem not, though, because he got charges dropped, didn't he? So.
But does this mean that managers now at end of games can target players and it'll create some kind of particularly Chelsea?
Jose's the master of plating things on himself to make sure that a really poor performance is not spoken about.
He can afford the fines, can't he?
Yeah,
he doesn't like watching the games.
They find him again. They find him the first one. It's 25,000 for the first one, isn't it?
The thing with Mourinho, first tenure, second tenure, there's a bad performance, as Andy said. He'd do something controversial, so you never hear about a really bad performance. Like Bradford, I mean, I don't wait after Bradford, but I think he came out and said, yes, it was a disgrace, blah, 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 took the whole thing away, congratulated Bradford, and there was a story.
Yeah, they talked about, didn't they? They talked about the fact that he got into, what class it was that he got into.
Well, that doesn't get enough column inches, and everyone came in, like, gave him the FA Cup ball, saying, we don't need these now, all stories
but
like that.
Certain bits of the press said that was patronising that he went in there.
Yeah, no, they had a go to him. I know.
But like, is there a certain, to Charlie, is there a certain way, you know, the press corps know how to wind Jose up and they're kind of pointing their questions that way to wind him up? I don't know if that's the case. Say, no, he's going to bite, or is it?
Well, that's because they want the best copy possible. Yeah. That's their jobs. You know, Mourinho has gone through kind of phases this season of giving them absolutely nothing or giving them everything on a plate.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my whole job is speaking to the reporters before and after those press conferences, and they'll either go, oh, you know, it was pretty good this week, or they'll sort of tuck down the phone and go, oh, I don't know what we're going to make of that. But I mean, that's the whole job, you know. Whether you spin it or not, you know, you've still got to get a readable line and an exciting line out of that press conference.
Never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Mourinho's good copy. He sells papers. He sells.
Exactly. You know, I mean, we sit at the office and put our head in our hands if all we've got is a Pellegrini press conference, because he's, you know, he gives no copy whatsoever.
He's dull.
He's very, very dull.
Managers are. I mean, there aren't many. Wenger's very kind of same. He doesn't really give anything.
Arsenal didn't see the incident.
I didn't see the copy.
Arsenal, Chelsea, Man United, and Liverpool are always, you know, are always going to be big stories no matter what.
Yeah.
It does certainly help with Mourinho. But
from a neutral perspective, Mourinho seems the most entertaining, because Rodgers just talks
platitudes.
Yeah, all about how great Liverpool are. Van Gaal, just all about.
I'm quite working out.
Yeah. And something like Nigel Pearson, someone said he's dull as dishwater. I mean, his press conference.
I don't know. It may be the case, but I'd look at him and think there's something else going on here, isn't there?
Yeah.
I don't think James McCarthy would agree.
No.
But Pulis is good fun.
Pulis is clearly a fantastic manager.
Yeah.
Let's be absolutely frank about this.
I mean, he's brilliant.
He is clearly utterly top notch, and West Bromwich now look as if they're there's going to be a completely proper team.
No, but they had Palace last season.
Yeah.
And Stoke for 7 seasons, where it was. Yeah. I mean, phenomenal.
I mean, when I was first watching football growing up, Stoke in the top division just wasn't even a notion, and he took them up from the third tier and made them into a solid Premier League club.
I know. Alan Hudson played for them.
I know. League Cup final.
And they beat us. Yeah.
Chelsea fan cast.
Sorry,
just jumping in. Chelsea fan.
Yeah, no, fair enough. But we're talking about Alan Hudson. He came into.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about him.
He's been on this very program.
I've met him a couple of times. Very pleasant. Very sad. How long have we got then, chaps? I'm going to blow my nose. Excuse me.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Nine minutes?
My goodness, mate. Okay. Hazard's new deal, or Hazard's nouvelle deal. He said, I've signed a new contract, I'm very happy because I'm playing for one of the best clubs in the world. I can take pleasure on the pitch and I can try to win trophies. That's what's most important. I want to say thank you to the club, all the fans and everybody that works for Chelsea. It's been a perfect week. We played Aston Villa, which was a difficult game, but we managed to win. Last night's game against Everton was also very tough, but Willian scored a beautiful goal at the end. And now with the new contract, the week has finished really well. When I came here, I was very happy, and I've been here for 2.5 years now. I only have good memories, even in the difficult moments when we've lost certain matches. I made a lot of new friends. London is a very good city, and the supporters are brilliant. It's been a great opportunity for me to play here. And he's probably earning
150,000
a week. 200 a week.
He's going to earn 57 million over the 5.5 years.
Well, fair enough. He's one of the best players in the world. And he will become that.
Plenty of tax for Charleston there as well.
That's always good. It might be Neto, though, mightn't it? That's the trouble. Who was it was always asking for that? What's it? Was it?
Hullet.
It was Hullet, that's right. Hullet wanted the Neto payment. And that's what Bates threw him out for, wasn't
it?
And, he wanted two separate payments, Hullet. He wanted, apparently, allegedly. He wanted, in fact, Bates told me this. I have a silly story about being on a coach with Bates and being the only person there going to a away game against Coventry in the League Cup. And I kept thinking, there's nobody else on this coach, it's just Bates. And he got slightly drunk because we'd won. And then said to me, I said, tell me about Hullet, what happened? And he said, I wanted two deals, he said. He wanted one for playing, one for managing. I went, okay, nice to know. But that's what happened to him. I wonder whether this was written by, rather than him, was the PR man wrote this. It seems too good to be true, actually. But I suppose if you were being paid 200,000 a week...
Well, you might win another trophy on the 1st of March.
Indeed, you will.
Let's hope so.
Let's hope so, yeah. We don't want
to...
No, me neither. Me neither.
No, it's great that he's signed a long 5.5 year contract. That's brilliant.
Yeah, and particularly before the PSG game, because there was always a bit of press about the possibility of him going there.
It's the best signing Chelsea could have made.
Absolutely.
The best new player.
or anything this year.
If he can manage to stay fit and not get his leg broken by some donkey.
Well, he seems to be, he has that thing that, it was Hiddink said that, Goose Hiddink said that, the fitter you were, the less opportunity, the less chance you'd have to be injured.
Yeah.
Because that was Lampard's big thing.
They got to catch you before they kick you.
Well, indeed, that was Lampard's big thing. Lampard played out of his skin, and he didn't get, what did he play when he played his
168
in a row?
Yeah.
Because he was just so agile.
And that gave him the record for the most consecutive games for the club, didn't it? Do you know who had it before?
David James.
Wayne Bridge.
Really?
Southampton.
Outfield player.
He scored a great goal, didn't he?
Yeah.
At the Arsenal, you can't really say that. It's got too many. Too many swear words.
Remember that? Yeah, when he scored that goal again.
Yeah. Yeah, and he went to the crowd. Didn't he grab somebody on the crowd
against Portsmouth? He'd been scummered all the way through because.
He scored
the goal and he ran
along. It was a hell of a goal.
When they were still in the East Lower.
Yeah.
No, it's so important. I'd put him in that bracket, kind of just below Ronaldo and Messi in the world. Thank you. Could do being a
with the potential to get there.
With the potential to get there.
How many goals he scored this season? It's quite a lot.
12. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
12. I think, you know, he's...
If he ups his goal rate, I think he's going to be...
He's so young as well, I think, in kind of 5 years. Sitting around this table, we'll be putting him up with the real kind of Chelsea legends.
Should they be building a team around him more, do you think? And rather than just letting... He just lets him do his thing.
I think it is built around him, actually.
I think he has a pretty free role, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he changes wing.
He's got discipline. Yeah. He needs a discipline to track back. But generally, when we're on the offensive way, he seems to be free, doesn't he?
He tackles back, nicks the ball. He's a bit Matic like, and he's just toe poking it away.
The whole thing with the three and the 4-3-1 or whatever it is, it's all very free. They all move around.
Yeah.
Even the striker drops back and does and plays the link up. So it's all very fluid. It's probably a really good environment for Hazard.
Yeah,
and I just think he's.
I mean, if he reaches his potential, he has the potential to be one of the best signings ever.
And he's very
really is a simple.
He is bad now, isn't he?
No, exactly.
Very grounded, very grand individual. Because I think it was got interviewed after his hat trick against Newcastle, when they said to him, "Oh, get out and celebrate." He went, "No, family. He's a real family guy. His football and family." Cause I think Dan Levine on a couple of weeks ago said he's all about football and family. That's it.
More family when Torben's back this year, isn't
it? Yeah, he's just wife and kids. He'll spend. Never goes out on the lash, just, you know, he's, you know, very wise head on young shoulders. An extremely talented player.
Wonderfully talented.
Yeah,
I think all our... He plays at such a high level the whole time that it's easy to overlook. You know, when we talk about man of the match each week, I mean, Hazard's a contender every single week.
Matic.
Always take it for granted.
Every time we play well, he is the absolute driving force of everything we do going forward. He's... A wonderful player, we're very, very lucky.
Excites me like Zola did when he came in.
Yeah,
that kind of quick feet, just unbelievable ability and blessed. Yeah. It's another thank you for the chat.
Do you think we need another couple of world class players, or have we got them already? I mean, because he's in the upper echelons of.
We need another striker.
I think.
Not too many world class players. I'd like some dross.
Yeah. Bring back Fleck and Sutton, is what I say. Yeah. No, I think we majority of our first 11 is world class. Our bench is maybe our bench could do some tweaking in terms of getting one or two better players in there. I think because some of them probably aren't quite up to standard. Hence the reason we haven't changed the team.
It's interesting that he's using youth players have come in.
Yeah, I was going to say we keep banging our head against the wall with it for years, but it does finally seem like. You know, I've never been one to say I'll put six of them in the team at once, but to fill these kind of squad positions, there's not a supporter in the ground that wouldn't give Loftus-Cheek more time than a big buy, you know, for these 20-minute spells or whatever.
But Mourinho's very pragmatic.
Yeah.
He will pick the team that he needs to pick to win the game.
No, totally.
He won't just pick a youngster because he's doing well in the youth team.
No. Clearly not. I mean, I'm talking about the odd squad spaces.
Yeah, well, Champions League game, he didn't bring on Loftus-Cheek until the 82nd minute, even though the game, because he wanted to win the game.
Yeah.
I mean, his first ethic for Mourinho is to win the game.
Mm. I mean, I think Mourinho says, does and acts is to win.
It's a results business.
Yeah, exactly.
Play Cheeks and lose 4-0 and they'll blame Cheeks. Could knock him back 1 or 2 years. The kids obviously got class. Josie leaving him in and around the club and in and around the first team, which is a massive step.
Yeah. Training with him.
Is he Brown the same as well? Is he Brown's back in the squad? He looks a decent player.
Yeah, I think on deadline day actually they were touch and go where they were going to let Izzy Brown go on loan, and Mourinho decided at the end that kind of want him in case.
You've got Solanke, you've got Boga, and the Masonda brothers.
Does Mourinho keep an eye on the development teams as well, on the
100 under 18s?
Absolutely.
He wants them to do well and win their leagues too.
Of course he does. Yeah,
100% he does.
I think, you know, everyone says we've not bought any players through, but I mean, how many of those players have gone on to what you would say have Chelsea level careers that have left the club in the last 10 years?
But the level of play in those sides.
Totally.
The standard, the bar.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's getting higher every year.
We're top on every level.
Yeah.
We're playing a quarter final tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully they're winning.
We've won it 3 in 5 years or something. We didn't win it for the previous 30. Yeah. It's a massive step forward. And the names that Dan mentioned, all of them, like you said as well, Chai, we just want one or two of them just to come through to the first team.
Yeah. Even one. You've got the John Terrys of this world.
Jose himself also said, if we find one JT every 3 or 4 years, we'll save ourselves £50 million.
It's painful. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Guys, I have to wind you up here because we're coming to the end of the break. Next, it's the Fannies. Man of the match versus Everton. Chant of the match. Suggestions. Guinness moment. And, of course, celery moment. And let's see if you've got any questions for us. Twitter and Mixilla alert. See you in a few minutes.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to the Chelsea Football Fancast. Proper Chelsea.
Footballfancast.com.
Fancast or fanciest, once again, is my predictive text has said, fueled on chamomile tea and several bananas, that's me, my staple diet for the last few days, to try and get rid of this cold. You shaping up, Mike? You all right?
Yeah, bearing up.
Anyone else flagging?
No, I'm good.
Andy? No, good. Charlie? Okay.
I've just done my warm-up.
Tweeted, Mixilla has been, tactics wizard, has been really going at it. I'm afraid we're a bit behind you, tactics wizard. William runs his duff off, and which is quite clever, really, isn't it? And you can't say Duff runs his Willian off, can you? And makes a difference.
Not on this show.
Not in this show. Almost every match. Czech should never have lost the number one, says Tactics Wizard. That's quite interesting. We can't see Andy, says Diane, but I think that was a previous one.
That was ages ago.
We
saw it,
I'm going the wrong way, I think, on my...
Is that the omnibus?
You're going back to last week.
I'm going back to last week. Oh, goodness me.
Don't read those comments.
Oh, my Guinness moment. Oh, here we are. We've gotten to the S. Gary Lipp says, hey now, which I really don't understand at all.
Move your mic.
And what? Move my mic.
You're muffling.
I'm muffling. Apparently I'm muffling, everybody. I'm muffling. There's my mic. How's that? Is that better? Shall I stay like this for the whole of the rest of it? Lower. It's got to be lower. Sorry about this, everybody. I've got to be lower. Apparently I'm muffling. It's going lower. Oh, I can't. I'm now going to be doing myself a mischief now. Oh, look. That's it. How's that? Is that muffling? Is it still rubbish? Anyway, so where were we? Good show, but quiet on Mixlr today. Oh, I'm so sorry. If I hold it closer to my mouth, that'd be good. I'll hold this to my mouth and the mic there, and then we'll carry on with the show. Is that a good idea? What?
That's perfect.
That's perfect. Perfect. Thank you very much. Really good. Perfect.
Doesn't look stupid or nothing.
Thank you, Gary. Man of the match, Cech or Willian, says Clive Lewis. Chant of the match has to be the Willian song for sheer volume. That's very good. Guinness moment, says Tactics Wizard, was the sublime dribbling skill displayed by Matic early in the Everton match. He turned and burned. Oh, I love it. Strode up the field past several players, had a shot to end it. Anyone else remember? Brilliant. I remember that. I thought I liked it. I don't think it makes it, though. I'm sorry, Tactics Wizard. Wizard of the Tactics. You have to say, have to thank Bates for CPO, he says. That's quite interesting. You have to thank Bates for CPO. You have to,
For the wrong reasons.
For all the wrong reasons.
To sell cup
They're talking about the headlock and the non-headbutt. Good, then we'll get on with this anyway. So, here we are. Yes. Man of the match suggestions. Check.
Yeah.
Zuma.
No, stop there.
Stop, just check.
Azar.
Check.
Anyone else? No.
I'd say William deserves.
Oh.
Yeah.
That one's really dodgy. I don't know why it has been.
I've
got a dodgy mic here.
Dodgy mic.
A dodgy mic. You can just see me through the hole. It's quite good. Oh, we can't see you at all now. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Pete.
Well, that's pretty good because it's all happening.
And so we've got Jack Zuma or Hazard.
That's live activity.
We can cut that out.
Technology. Do we want to cut it out? I like
it. To prove it's live.
We're at the coalface. We're at the on the edge.
Go on the DVD extras.
Yeah, it could do. Well, no, I don't think it should be there anyway. It should just be part of it.
To quote Martin Tyler, and it's live.
Right, so, I think, check. We've got Zuma. I thought Zuma was great. I thought Hazard was great. And I thought William was great. But
as ever, an honourable mention to Matic, who's always great.
But I thought, I thought the fact that Mourinho went onto the pitch and said Pete, and they gave him a big hug. Yeah. I thought it was absolutely spot on about what it was all about. So, chant of the match.
We give it to?
We're not voting.
We actually give
No.
That's a given.
Who we give it to?
Check. Haven't we? I thought we all said check.
Have you got the scores?
I don't think it's been up on the website.
No. I'm going to vote check.
Yeah, me too.
I'm with Charlie.
Without check, we wouldn't have won. We wouldn't have won that game.
Yeah.
Check, mate.
You see the players at the end as well. Every single defender giving them a warm embrace. The manager running onto the pitch. Yeah. We'll give it to check.
Yeah,
well done, check.
Fantastic. Chant of the match. Nice one. We've got two here. I've got an enormous Chelsea. I don't know which one that was. What was it?
Chelsea.
Oh, yeah.
The one word.
I do like that one. You don't hear that one very often. I like that.
No, it's one of my favourites right here on the top.
We hear it quite frequently, but not for as long as we used to.
The trouble is, we don't hear anything where I am.
It's the easiest one for them because it's only got one.
It used to go on for 20 or 30 minutes.
But I love that, though. I'm happy with that. I like that. As in, hello, hello. There was a great moment away, I remember, a few seasons ago, but hello, hello, we are the Chelsea boys. Just used to go on and on. There'd be 15 minutes of it. Yeah. I used to record it. I'd say, look, I've got 15 minutes of this. I just loved it. I loved the fact that could be maintained. It was really irritating for the opposition fans. I'm convinced of that.
It also allows you to have a little break while everyone else turns and then you join back in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're good. Yeah, watch the football for a start. Williams' song, which was... I thought was at the end was absolutely phenomenal.
All four corners.
It was, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Even my manservant was singing.
I saw.
He was standing up and he was wearing a little white Dickie bow. Actually.
That was him. I thought it was him.
Saluting. Guinness moment, suggestions. Quadrado's skill in the corner. Yeah, right, was skillful. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I would have rather voted on Chant of the Match.
Oh, yeah, it's the William one, isn't it?
William, yeah.
We give him
once again, I don't think we need to vote. We know what it is, it's the William.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just give out the winners then.
Yeah. That one won it. The winning.
What were the other nominations? Come on, listen.
What for chant of the match?
For sake of completeness. No, we've done that.
Okay, Guinness moment suggestions. Quadrado's skill in the corner. I don't remember that.
That was his pirouette.
That was the pirouette. Oh, that one. Zuma track back and tackle on Lukaku. I thought that was fab.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
That was a wonderful moment. Check two saves from Lukaku. Well, indeed.
Okay, stop now.
Indeed. Matic back heel tackle and pass.
Check.
Yep.
Yeah, that was great as well. I remember, I actually did go, oh!
He had a little dummy as well that was down by the East Stand in the first half when he left Naismith for dead. But I don't think they're going to get a mention.
Hazard run and shot.
Hazard?
Could be anything, couldn't it?
That one.
Yeah, second half towards Matthew Hardy.
Willian goal, obviously. But you know,
that's a lot.
Matic pass to Cuadrado. Don't know what that one is. These are Chidges, by the way.
There's a lot of them.
Matic free kick.
It's a lot of Guinness.
It was quite good, a lot of Guinness. Now, I liked, at the very beginning of the game, there was an enormous, superb pass from, I don't know who it was, from Matic in the first minute, which Branner chested down past the player and then carried on. I even went, oh! Yeah. I thought, I can't, that's too soon. Yeah. It's too soon for a Guinness moment. I can't go, oh, there must be more in the game where I'm going to go, oh! But I really did... remember
this
it.
This was when he passed it off his chest. Wasn't
yeah, that was the one.
Yeah, that's right.
But he passed it to himself because he then ran down the line with it. I thought that was brilliant. I loved that. What do we reckon?
Check safe.
What do we reckon?
Mm-hmm. Oh, check safe.
Oh, something's coming.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Oh, crackling mic. Marts is the crackling mic.
The back.
Oh my goodness me.
Leave that alone. How's that?
Steve's in. We can't see Steve, but he's in. Steve Hadlow's in, everybody. There's a bit of fiddling going on. So while he's had a shot, it's just you and me, Charlie. What do we reckon? We've got...
I've got to go for checks. Double save.
Check saves.
Brilliant. As we said a couple of times.
I don't think there's anything there that compares. I like Zuma, though. Zuma's track back and tackle on Lukaku I thought was fantastic. He did that a couple of times.
Check save purely for the influence in the game.
Yeah, they were wonderful, I agree. All right, I'm going to vote for that. What are you going to vote for? That's two.
Check.
3-4. Andy?
Check, save.
That's unanimous.
Yeah, that's unanimous. Well, that's it. That's the Guinness moment sorted. Celery moment. These are obviously TV ones, and I'm afraid I didn't watch the TV because I was at the game. Eva grimacing when Hazard was fouled by Besic.
Hazard, I remember him getting fouled. I don't remember either.
No. Obviously, there was a cut to her going, oh, show me. Hazard leaving defenders on their backside.
Yes, I remember that.
Happens every week. But there was a great moment we did it.
There was, and
then the defender just fell down. I like that.
He just leaves a trail of them behind him.
Yeah. Hazard nicking the ball off Coleman in his own penalty box.
Yeah.
Chelsea aggro, Branner on McCarthy. Japanese supporter invading the pitch to join in the players' goal celebration.
This was excellent.
I thought that was fabulous.
I didn't see that.
And then falling before he got.
Yeah, but that always happens.
That was the best thing.
Every time someone does that.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, they always slide.
There's a picture of the Japanese supporter. Fantastic. Yeah. With a onesie, it looks like a CFC onesie.
The Chelsea fan in the tiger onesie. Oh, yeah. I think he was in my stand, West Lowe. He had a whole Tiger onesie with a Chelsea shirt over the top. He's obviously a day tripper.
Have you seen that chap who wears the check outfit, though? Have you seen the pictures of him?
The full kit.
Yeah. I mean, that
There's
really
a website.
Is.
It's a really good website for that.
For that kind of thing.
A helmet in every sense of the word.
Yeah, indeed.
Kit self-abuser.
It's full kit. What's that? Goodness me. Things that boats go down on, for boats.
That's what I said, a full kit self-abuser.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah,
I think
he's called. There's something else on Twitter that does it, which is even ruder than that.
Something to do with Barclays.
Yeah, indeed, absolutely.
And other banks are available.
Yes,
to which I was alluding.
Players' goal celebrations, which were wonderful.
It was.
There was phenomenal. Yes.
Yeah. It was a big pile up in the corner.
And in the stands as well.
Very expensive pile of bodies.
Yeah.
I think it was similar to the Matthew Harding lower.
I was
under at least six. And I think one of them nearly tried to start surfing, but
it's the one you got about back.
Yeah, well, yeah. But according to the press, we're not allowed to celebrate 89th minute goals. So it was a bit naughty of us, wasn't it, Charlie?
goddamn fans.
There's another one, which is Costa proving he's a proper fan by going mad in the stands.
That was very good.
I saw that subsequently.
I was too sick to go to the game, so I did watch it on TV and I saw that. And he was in there. He was kicking really, every ball.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
We did a whole kind of picture special on that.
Beating up, one of the players was next to him. He kept slapping him. I can't remember who it was.
That's right, he did. He's right.
The caption was he went wild.
Yeah.
I think
he's a character, isn't he? Yes. Yeah. Costa.
Chelsea boy through and through now.
Yeah,
already.
Yeah. I just wonder whether he'll be the same when he actually learns to speak English. Because I remember I lived in France and for a period I didn't speak much of the language. I was very good at becoming a sort of mime. You know, you thought I'll have a personality, but I'll do lots of big gestures.
I think in a confrontation you'd know what he meant.
I suppose you would, wouldn't you? Yeah. I didn't have that. I must admit, I didn't have that ability to look as
when you're trying to pick
up teeth
with your broken arms. You'll know what you meant.
Indeed. Yeah. Jose making a point of going up to Big Pete at the end of the match and saying Pete, which we talked about before. That's another one as well. So we've just got the 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, which one are we going to vote for? Eva grimacing when Hazard was fouled by Messi. No, I think not.
I forgot
not.
The first six.
We don't have that one. Azar leaving defenders on their backside. Does it all the time. Not particularly a great celery moment. Hazard nicking the ball off Coleman in his own penalty area. I don't really remember that one. Chelsea aggro, Branner on McCarthy. I'd rather that one wasn't in there.
To be honest.
Japanese supporter invading the pitch, joining players' goal celebrations. Yes, I love that.
Yeah.
And that's very Guinness. That's very celery to me. Different.
Yeah, completely
different.
Typical Chelsea, though.
Players' goal celebrations. No, it wasn't very Chelsea, was it? No, it's true.
Better be careful what I say.
Yeah, no, it's true. You're right, it's not very Chelsea. But it says Chelsea that he's a fan.
Yeah.
Did he get thrown out, the
I would have thought so.
Yeah, he'd be banned for up to 5 to 10 years.
But if he lives in Japan, he'd probably care.
Anyway. Yeah. Probably just a one-off game anyway, so it'd be all right.
Tourist.
Well, we have the joy. Perhaps he wasn't aware that you're not supposed to do it. They were just celebrating, so he thought, I'll get on there with
it. And having the wrong studs as well to fall over.
But good luck to him, really. He spotted the situation. He spotted the opportunity.
He did.
And he somehow got past the stewards. I must admit, the stewards who, when they come in, what is it, with 15 minutes to go, come down in front of me, there are very few of them who would ever stop anybody from running.
Unless you hit them on the way through.
I think indeed.
I think that's the safest thing I can say on
it.
Carpe diem, he did seize the day.
He did, indeed. Indeed.
Oh, no,
indeed, whatever the Japanese equivalent is.
yes.
Costa proving he's a proper fan, I like that one. And then Jose making a point of going up to Big Pete. So we've got a four, really.
I vote for
Japanese
Costa.
Supporter, players' goal celebration, Costa and Jose. What's it going to be?
I vote for Costa.
Players' celebration.
Celebration.
Yeah. Celebration as well, because it shows the unity of the team.
Diego Costa.
Yeah, two Costas. That's two Costas. And
you've got the deciding vote.
I've got the deciding vote. And to me, it's going to be the players' celebrations.
Ah, okay.
Because I didn't see the Costa.
A worthy choice.
So because I was watching I was at the game. So
a worthy
My man Seven told me all about it. So well,
they're probably linked, really, aren't they? Costa and the players.
You could say that.
Could link them.
As is a Japanese supporter.
He'd have been in the pile up there, wouldn't he, if he'd been in the pitch?
It's called what went wrong.
Probably would have been in the bottom of it.
It's called what went wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's have a quick look at Mixler. Oh, trust me, you'd have a very
long
pass.
What was Steve Jones? Sky slipping out, what was it?
No idea. I'm going to check the youth team, see how they're getting on.
Here we are.
Why he does that? That's a good idea.
How are United getting
on? Oh, seize the day, says Tactics Wizard. Knowing exactly what you meant. Well done, Tactics Wizard. Yeah, Clive Lewis has gone for Costa. Quiet on Mixler, not so many people commenting, but thanks for making it louder. It's a fluke. I don't know.
We're just shouting at the top of our lungs. It seems louder.
Tactics Wizard, my Guinness moment was a sublime dribbling seal. Oh, we've done that. Shot to end it. Anybody else remember? Brilliant. Yeah, we've done that one. I don't remember that at all. I do actually remember it, but he didn't make it. I'm sorry. Right. How long we got then, please? Still weary? Go for the break. 5 minutes. We're doing this without the feed, so I keep having to appeal to the gallery to find out what exactly is happening. So let's all talk about PSG tomorrow night. What do we think is the likely team selection?
I think any debatable with the goalkeeper. I think the rest of the team will pick itself. Any debate will be who's in goal.
Do you think he'll stick with Dave, or will he have a go to Philip Lewis?
Who's Dave fit again? Besson, or
You know who I
Mitchell.
Mean. You know Dave Mitchell.
I think personally, keepers any
Alan Mays from the world of
Branner.
Similar.
I think he'll
Cahill and Courtois.
That's the only two questionables. Will be centre half for John Terry, who's in goal.
It's worked out, won't he? Who Branner and Dave. Zuma will need to deal
Matic.
With because it's what's his name?
Ibrahimovic
and. Is the other chap, the...
Cavani.
Yeah, is he playing?
Yeah, he'll play on the flank.
with Livetsi or
Who is it? Pastore is injured, isn't he? The bloke.
Well, they got they got five players out injured.
Minute they have, He's been. He's a long-term injury, but they get four injuries.
Great shots at Chelsea and Paris last season.
Brilliant stuff.
On the service.
Yeah.
I personally, I'd go for Czech and.
But you're off tonight. Zuma. You're off in the wee hours of the morning.
7:01 Eurostar.
Wow, fantastic.
Buzzing. Really looking forward to
it. How long's the journey? 2 hours.
Yeah, it's not too long.
Do you get a decent breakfast on the train?
If you're in first, I think.
Oh, I'm not in first class.
Will the paper pay for you to go first?
No, I'm not going. I'm just going as a fan. Just going as a fan.
Good for you.
It'll be front three. Pick
can't
yourself.
Wait. Going with a load of mates. That should be good.
Are you in this? Has everybody got the same tickets, or have you got a more expensive ticket, or everybody's in the seats with the netting?
I picked my ticket up on my lunch break today. I don't know whether I'm up or lower, but it doesn't really seem to matter. Up memory from last year, anyway, you just kind of go in and
pick a seat.
He goes where he wants.
Charlie Skilling. He sits where he wants. Exactly.
Devil you.
So is Oscar going to make an appearance, do you think?
If he's fit, yeah.
I think he will.
He's been rested,
I think he will.
I'm not sure he will.
Do you think he'll play Ramirez holding Fabregas further forward? Or?
I think he might play Mikel.
Mikel's injured, hasn't travelled.
Well, probably won't.
I think he'll be Czech, Aspi.
Czech, you think? Not good.
Yeah, yeah, I think it'll be Fabregas in Manchester.
Coming off of the Everton performance, you won't drop Czech.
Oscar, Hazard.
Okay.
We might. Oscar, Hazard, Willian, Costa.
Costa,
he might throw a curveball and start with Cotardo.
I'd certainly go with Czech and Zuma.
Yeah. Because Zuma's got the physical capability to cope with them. Yeah. He's not fazed by anybody. I think he's
his best
privilege.
Team at the moment. Well,
he would have played against him last season, wouldn't he?
So against those two strikers, yes, you'd probably want Zuma rather than Cahill.
Because Cahill will back, if someone's running.
Probably will be Czech in goal.
Yeah,
because Caleb back up to Calais if he was facing.
But I've seen PSG last week. We will score. But they really are good up front. They will be looking for.
That's what they're after, isn't it?
He will just sit on the penalty spot and wait for the crosses.
If we keep their forwards quiet, I think we'll get a positive result.
They've got some sideshow, of course, who's one of the great players.
Unlike last year, I think, as with any game in Europe away, you're kind of hoping for a score draw. You go pretty happy.
Get the away goal, yeah.
And I'm not usually this optimistic, but I'll be quite surprised if Chelsea don't win tomorrow.
Yeah, we're a lot better.
We're a much better side.
And they haven't improved. They're in a very uncompetitive league. They're struggling.
They've gone back. They're fourth, third or fourth in their league.
In a very uncompetitive league, really. Yeah. And so I think I've got 2-1 Chelsea.
Mm. Yeah.
That's good.
I think it'd be something like that. I think
just going back to their strikers and now defenders, is Courtois actually better than Cech at fielding crosses?
PSG don't bang in crosses.
Well, I thought that was the case, and then he flapped so much in the Man City game.
The Man City game, there was someone close playing goal.
The Villa game, they just kept standing on his foot.
Yeah.
And Bonlahor kept deliberately getting at him.
If you're playing goal and someone comes towards your eye line, your natural reaction, you do adjust yourself, you don't want to collide with somebody.
Yeah,
so the City, City was.
But that's a very common tactic.
I'll have to wind you up there because we're going straight into the break. But we'll carry on with this discussion about Paris Saint-Germain after the break. See you then.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy and you're listening to the Chelsea Football Fancast. Up the Chelsea!
Footballfancast.com.
Hello, this is Chelsea Fancast. We're back, and I'm leaning probably a bit too, but I'm very relaxed about this. And I'm Jonathan Kidd. I had to look down at the script and see who I was. Mark, Charlie, Andy, Dan, and not the gaffer. Who went out to the gaffer this week?
No idea, disappeared. Because in action.
We didn't think he was coming last week, and then he appeared suddenly. Yes, didn't
is that a Spanish Inquisition?
Yeah, he just suddenly popped up. I'd be surprised if he comes and says, here I am, and he puts his head up between.
No, Gaffer, you probably turn up in Paris tomorrow.
He probably will. Yeah. So here's an interesting one, just to digress slightly from. Anirban Bhattacharjee. Hi, guys, and thank you. Yes, thank you very much. Since I joined in late, I was wondering if you guys are going to talk about the $5 billion TV deal. What would that mean for Chelsea and the other clubs in the league in general? I mean, it should allow us to compete with clubs like Barca and Madrid. We're not going to be talking about that, no. So
it just means that we're not going to be going bankrupt between 2016 and 2019.
It also means we're the richest league in Europe, and we can cherry pick the best players from the best leagues.
Yes.
But don't think it'll affect ticket prices.
Oh, I don't know.
No, of course it won't.
I'm not sure.
I think there'll be a freeze. They're not going to reduce it, but I think there'll be a freeze.
They're good at doing that, aren't they? They make a big thing of saying, you know, we haven't put the prices up this year.
I don't, especially home, I mean, we can't control the price of away games, except, you know, the occasions when Chelsea knock 20 quid off or whatever, which they've been very good at.
Mm-hmm. They do subsidise the travel.
Yeah, exactly. You know, with this deal, match day revenue is becoming an ever, ever smaller percentage of the club's overall revenue.
Yes.
To put a small reduction on tickets would be such a massive PR game for, like, very little cost. And I wouldn't be surprised if you... I'm not talking about a whole wide-ranging lowering, but if you saw more effort of reducing a certain section or 18 to 21...
They're good at doing the away trains, aren't they, Chelsea? That's always very good indeed.
Chelsea are by far the best club in the league for doing stuff like that, you know. Often I've come into work after, you know, going up to Liverpool when they said, well, that was a tenner. Like, fans of other clubs genuinely cannot believe that a club like Chelsea puts on these trains, which they've done five or six times this season.
Last season I did a couple of times for the Far North games.
My 20-hour round trip from Burnley was only a tenner as well.
Absolute bargain.
Every half hour, which is a bargain.
We just wanted
another hour and it would have been even cheaper.
Last season they knocked £20 off the Champions League semi-final, didn't they?
Yes.
Away in Madrid, which is, you know, it's not like a Carling Cup third round game. It was the Champions League semi-final. They did the same at Sunderland and Cardiff.
We said the same about Liverpool for the semi-final second leg. It was £25 at home for a home game.
That's decent.
Which they quite easily could have just gone, sorry, it's a double A game now, it's £56.
Exactly.
And we would have sold out. So PR-wise, it was a great gesture.
Tactics Wizard here says, costing 10.6 million a game for broadcast is ridiculous. Is that how much it's costing, 10.6 million?
More than 11.
It's 98 million for getting relegated.
Right.
It's going to be £1,886 a second per Premier League game.
And yet...
So when you're watching West Brom v Stoke in 2019, you remember that? It's costing £1,886 because they
flog it all around the world, the advertising revenue from their flogging it.
This is just domestic.
This is just domestic. This is before the worldwide. This isn't Fox or ESPN or whatever.
Clive Lewis says 90% of the money will go into players' pockets.
Well, you'll certainly see the first half.
And the other 10% will go in agents' pockets.
If not more.
Aniban says as well, he'd like prices to be dropped, not necessarily across the board, but at least for people between the ages of 18 to 30.
Yeah.
Why discriminate?
18 to 30. Yeah.
That's rather specific, isn't it?
I like that. Keep it at that.
I think if they did like £10 tickets for domestic cup games or something like that,
in that case, the bottom line.
So
that was us not talking about that.
Do we have anything to fear? Do we have anything to fear from PSG?
We can't take them lightly.
Ibrahimovic.
Yes, number one man.
Yeah. Luis, will he come back to haunt us?
Luis.
Yeah.
No.
David Luiz is going to have an absolute stormer. You can tell, can't you?
He'll kick the ball with his own goal, I think. Well, he probably will. He's probably sort of a free kick, wouldn't he?
There was something somebody put on the Facebook group, a comparison between Cahill and Luiz, about, and saying about how much better Luiz has been this season. But he's still a liability, though, surely.
Regardless, has he been any more disciplined in his play? David Luiz loses games.
Outstanding talented footballer, but not a centre half. If you play him defensive midfield,
and not a defensive midfielder either.
Well, I think you could afford for him to make a mistake because you've got some cover. I mean, he's undoubtedly a supremely talented player, but I think he's got a little screw loose somewhere.
Very comfortable with the ball.
Discipline is lacking. Absolutely discipline.
Other than when he's injured and plays in the Champions League final. Apparently, he had a tear in his
8-inch tear in his hamstring, and he told the Chelsea physio, "I'm playing. Yeah. I left home at 14. I'm playing. I don't care.
Yeah.
I will kill you."
Fantastic.
I think it was in the mail, wasn't it?
But what it gives you a kind of discipline. You're not going to be running over the halfway line if you can hardly walk. So perhaps that's the thing to do. Perhaps he gets injured. He plays better.
Over the two games, he will do something. Whether it will be brilliant or mad, we don't know. But you can guarantee over the two games,
David Luiz will be talking about him.
Yeah.
We'll definitely be talking about him.
When he was playing central defender, he thought he was a midfielder. When he was playing holding midfield, he thought he was a striker.
He's still doing the same. I saw him last week when they played Leon.
I thought he was one of the real characters of our recent history.
I love the bloke.
Yeah, so right. I'm a kind of sad to see him go.
Your mail online.
Not to do something mad.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's why Jose wasn't.
Do you want to read any of that out, which you're allowed to do, of course, because it's...
Because you wrote it.
No. Neil Aston wrote it, actually.
So we can move on.
Yeah.
What's the headline? David Lewis by Chelsea Hell.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, the best bits are the Champions League final stuff, and, yeah. You know, he says great things about the club, but, you know, I think he definitely divides opinion and was just seen in the last kind of 30 seconds, but he's...
Of course, he wasn't got rid of, he just said he wanted to go, yeah, he felt the time was right.
He wants to go, and he was probably right, you know, he wasn't getting picked every...
But apparently he said he was offered a contract by Chelsea. Yeah.
I don't think he was ever hated, in terms of his abilities, divisive opinions.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that sort of player is always going to be divisive. And actually, I think, you know, people seem to have this thing, especially maybe people that weren't sort of Chelsea fans, say, you can't trust him in a big game. I mean, quite the opposite was true. You know, he had his best performances for Chelsea in the biggest games imaginable.
Yes, exactly.
Mm. And it was often when we were sort of away at Newcastle or whatever, and he was playing centre half, and you'd kind of go, "Oh, bloody hell, what's he doing?" You know, he was.
He seemed to let the ball bounce a lot. He was very good at not going for the ball.
Him becoming the Champions League final were brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, and that whole campaign was fantastic, and for that, you know, he'll always have a part of Chelsea.
I mean,
you
both in the semi-final and the final, both at any other game against Barca and against Munich, they would not have played. For love of making. They could not walk after 20 minutes, both of them, in that semi, in the final. And they would have both come off by it being the final of the Champions League. Yeah. So to that, tip our hats, give him a good, and just hope he does shows the side of Lewis that we didn't like when he was with the club.
He didn't make that many ricks. I mean, you look at his overall statistics. You know, his ricks were really kind of, maybe because of Gary Neville coming up being a PlayStation footballer. Yeah. I mean, I've struggled to remember any major ricks. Yes, OK, he maybe let the ball go through a couple of times. But
few.
Well, not many that actually led to goals.
There's a pick on the box there of... Are they burning a Paris Saint-Germain flag?
I'm looking forward to the old Welcome to Paris the PSG did last year, didn't they?
I'm
looking forward to a bit of banter with that. That was quite funny.
Anna Banner said, "I love Lewis. I thought he was hilarious. I would have loved to see him pair up with Matic with Fabregas in front of them."
Yeah. I mean, he did actually play quite well, very well for a couple of games last season when he was next to Matic. Particularly in, I mean, Man City away, he was absolutely imperious. And
thoughtless.
Jonathan Sharp says he's playing in inferior league, which is what we talked about before.
Yeah, I mean, a player of his talent in the French league...
It's wasted.
It's wasted, and B, it can just be allowed to run riot because half the team's like Sochaux and Rennes.
He's playing with his mate, though, isn't he? From the
Thiago Silva.
Yeah, Thiago
Silva. We've got 50 million quid for him, which is unbelievable money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's for 50 million.
I mean, yeah,
it was great business.
I wouldn't see him being first choice in this team. He'd be a fantastic...
Well, as he wasn't last year.
He'd be an unbelievable option.
He'd be a great Scott player.
I mean, you say he wasn't first choice. He wasn't automatic every week, but I think for the big games he always played.
He played 30-odd games, I think.
he always played for the big games, usually in midfield, admittedly. But he's definitely got a part in Chelsea history, certainly, I think. Mm-hmm. He should get a good reception.
I will. There's absolutely no reason why he won't.
So would we be happy with a draw? I'd be happy with a draw, because then we get him back at the...
We would need to score. Because we learnt from Atletico.
Score draw, yes.
Yeah,
it's not a great goal, isn't it? Proved that we lost 3-1, which is a bad scoreline in a normal game, but in an away game in Europe, a 3-1 is a good result because we game through 2-0. So if we score, Charlie's quite optimistic. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be 2-1 either way.
I remember in '99 when we were 3-0 up on Barcelona.
And Figo scored in the last
game. And we
minute.
Let them score at the end. And you turn up at the Nou Camp, and there they all are with signs saying 2-0.
Well,
the thing is, when Flo scored, we're only like 9 minutes away from getting through. Did Baba Yara have a
brain fart?
Yeah.
Of course, we had the chance to do that, and the Monaco semi final, didn't we?
Hasselbank at right back.
And Huth came on, didn't he, and played?
Well, Hasselbank was playing. It was almost like Ranieri saying, "You know what? I'm gone. I'm going to ruin it."
Yes, the Gronkowski cross-come shot that went in.
Yeah.
That's horrible, because then Morientes scored just before half time, didn't he?
Chidge and I sat in the front row of the shed up for that. It was rather nice.
I flew back from Scotland for that. On holiday, overnight, and went back again.
I was in Monaco, and they had. A bloke, a policeman, except he wasn't, he was a fireman with one of those elaborate silver fireman's hats.
YMCA,
on,
was it?
Looking at us for the whole of the 90 minutes of the game with a hose and, bizarrely, a bucket. And I could never work out what the bucket was for.
What club were you in, by the way?
Well, he did have to stand there for quite a long time.
So he kept going to a young man.
Was it full of sand?
Would that be for fireworks, would it, if we'd thrown something? If we'd thrown something. Yeah. Mm. What it was
there a builder and a policeman there as well, or not?
The policeman, I know there were lots of policemen, but they'd frisk us when we came.
Was that
in.
An Indian as well?
An Indian?
A builder, Indian policeman and a fireman.
Or you mean a red Indian with the... Yeah. But no, funny enough, there wasn't. So I was wearing that outfit already, so... no. Trying to think what... who was the player that we bought from United? No, been at United, originally at
Veron.
United. Veron, yeah. Veron, I've deliberately... I can never remember his name.
One good game
I managed
for
to... I managed to expand. He scored, wasn't it?
Well, first I was Newcastle.
Yeah, Newcastle. Yeah.
Liverpool. Liverpool away. I scored him Veron.
Yeah, Veron.
1 minute.
Yeah.
How important is the Champions League to us this season?
Very.
Very.
Not as important as the league.
No, very true.
Nonetheless,
yeah. To Jose, to the supporters, to Roman. Premier League or Champions League? What do you think?
League.
Premier League.
Premier League.
League.
Definitely.
Prediction for tomorrow?
2-1, Chelsea.
2-1.
2-1.
2-1. Yeah.
We're all happy with 2-1. I think we'll win.
Did you say which way?
2-0. Good. See you in a minute.
For the latest opinions and news, check out the Football Fancast forum and blogs. Read what your fellow fans have to say and join in the banter.
Welcome back, I'm Jonathan Kidd, and you're watching, even listening to the Chelsea Fancast, and it is time for Chelsea Chadders Stats. So, because we have nobody to read them out who is female and of a pneumatic persuasion, I will be reading them out here.
Leave Sophie
and
there. After these little tune.
Oh, we're
I never knew Chelsea had so much history.
Chelsea Chatter presents Chelsea Stats. Away we're off, here we go, yeah. Here we are. Petr Cech has now kept 10 consecutive Premier League clean sheets for Chelsea at Stamford Bridge.
Pretty good.
He has now gone 800 minutes since conceding his last Premier League goal at Stamford Bridge. Look at him, there he is. Or is it the impersonator? No, it is him. It is him. there have now been 10 red cards in Chelsea matches this season. Nemanja Matic made his 50th Chelsea start versus Everton. That's including the few that he must have made before he was transferred.
That's first
of course.
Team.
Chelsea are now unbeaten in their last. There he is. Are now unbeaten in their last 20 Premier League home games versus Everton. Good. Chelsea have kept 15 clean sheets in their last 20 Premier League home games, conceding just 6 goals in that run. Chelsea have won 33 and lost just one of their last 39 Premier League games at Stamford Bridge.
Wow.
On this day, February the 11th, 1967, Peter Benetti, the cat himself, played his 300th Chelsea game. On this day, February the 11th, 1970, Alan Hudson, the great Alan Hudson, scored his first Chelsea goal. I think that was stat of the week, actually. For more Chelsea stats and history, go to www.chelseachadder.com. Follow him on Twitter at Chelsea Chadder. So, I wanted to talk about the my Sabutio team for a moment, if that's okay. This is my Sabutio team, which, as you see, was crafted beautifully. And I got cut the programme up, and this is the box here.
Yeah. I don't know if you can see that.
If you can see that box.
But this is. I'm just going to comment on this because it says on here 4367.
Yeah.
So not only does that date Jonathan a bit.
Yeah.
But this was when Tommy Doherty was manager. So what we're looking at here is Doherty's diamonds.
Yeah.
After they'd made the transition from Drake's ducklings. And the team here it says is Benetti, McCready, Hollins, Hinton, Harris R, Boyle, Baldwin, Osgood, Cook, Tambling, Birchnell and Fascioni.
Fascioni, yeah. Fascioni is my sub, in fact. I've got him as my sub. Mm-hmm. And I've even got, there's a goalie sub, which of course I don't think they had at the time.
I think somebody's fallen off.
This is,
as well.
Probably John Phillips.
It's McCready has come off a bit.
No, McCready's there, but was there somebody here?
Oh yeah, there is somebody who's come away there. I like the fact that Boyle was there, he didn't really figure much, but
no.
Came in, Scots player, he was international. What I'd like to find out is what would be your team of that your favourite team to be your Saputio team. What do you think you have in it?
If I needed to have prepared for this and I haven't.
But I did warn you.
Is this of all time, JK?
Yeah.
You can mash players from different
teams. Yeah, I'm happy to do different
I read your email on the way out of the office.
And thought, what's he talking about?
Well, I've done my team from when I started watching.
You've done a bad team as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I've done a bad.
We'll start with a good team.
A good team. Czech.
Yeah.
Dan Petrescu. Yeah, Ashley
wonderful.
Cole.
Oh, wonderful.
John Terry. Marcel Desailly. Midfield three. Makélélé, Di Matteo, Lampard. Nevin Drogba-Zola.
Brilliant.
Zola in there?
Yeah.
That's all right.
Nevin Drogba-Zola.
You can pick the other. I'll just put Zola and pick the rest of them.
Worst team?
I used to just turn up just to watch him train. He was just a magician. But,
how would you defend against Nevin Drogba and Zola?
Probably
viciously. Nowhere to stand.
No Charlie Cook.
No. I didn't see him play. Yeah. These are the only players I saw play. My worst team.
Yeah, go
and this is also based not just on ability but on shenanigans as well.
Mm.
So Bosnich in goal, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Back four, Andy Dow, Khalid Boularouz.
Andy Dow. Boularouz, terrible.
Ben Ahim.
Khalid the Cannibal.
Yeah, Ben Ahim and Winston Bogard.
Oh, brilliant.
Midfield three, Jokanovic, Dale Jasper, Darren Wood. Oh. And up front, me too.
But does Kiki DeLucas not get in there?
No, sorry, Darren
Plays
Wood.
Plays for Biggleswade Town.
Does he now?
Biggleswade United.
What a dreadful
My front three, Mutu, Mitchell, Sutton.
Fantastic.
That's
fantastic.
Cool.
Yeah. That is a really... I would have got... Allot would have got in there.
Mutu and
Bosnich. Antics, isn't it?
The Antics, yeah. Because I love Mutu.
Allot. Trevor, we're going to say
Trevor.
Sorry, no, he was quite good. He made a great effort. No, Joe Allen.
Yeah.
Joe Allen.
Yeah.
Signed from Hartlepool by Porterfield.
Who needs Wayne Rooney when we got Mutu?
Yeah. He was great for 6 months.
He was great when he started. He was great for one game, wasn't he, practically?
Yeah. No, he had like Spurs, Leicester, a really good start.
And then Leicester at home was fantastic.
Yeah, then he met...
He hit a free kick into the wall. Come straight back out and smacked it back in.
Then he met his Colombian friend.
He scored a big packet of nosewhiskey.
He met a Colombian friend.
Yes, he did. I saw him driving. He had an Aston Martin with a gold Aston Martin with one Mutu the registration.
Not one Mutu.
It was in up the King's Road. And I went, it's Adrian Mutu. No, I thought, I don't think I want.
Actually, I'm going to tell you, I was getting my lunch and I saw Ross Turnbull at Waterloo Station.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was he off support? Because he still supports us. Who's he play for now? He's playing for Dunkston.
Barnsley, I think. Well, he's with his mate, and I kind of said, that's Ross Turnbull. And by the time I thought, I can't get a selfie of Ross Turnbull.
I thought that was rather sweet, him coming to go to all the away games.
Yeah. I was going to start on Waterloo. Ross Turnbull was won the European Cup. I thought nobody would join in with me. So.
Have you picked your best 11 then, as you were?
I'm happy to go with this one, actually. It's been
that one on the
front? Even though it's not. I've sort of cheated. Because
Alan Birchnell.
I've got Alan Birchnell in it. But I liked it, because what I liked about him was that he wore his shirt a bit like Dennis Law did, down like that. And he
like
stood like
Law
that. And they all had these ridiculously long haircuts with sort of fringes. And I aspired to all of that when I was that age. So, I'm not sure that when you're 12, you can really appreciate what a player is actually... Like, you know, you look at them and you think, I like what they look like, they score. You're not going, look at the tactics, isn't he a great player? You know, appreciate it.
No, but I saw Pat Nevin at 10, 11 and thought, wow, what a player.
I suppose that's different because he was pretty obvious, but it's very difficult to work out what attributes Tommy Baldwin had.
He compared to like Kevin McAllister, you know, you look at like players, because when you're 11, 12, you look at these great players and you look at the average players, you can tell that Pat Nevin was head and shoulders above McAllister.
Johnny Hollins was also a great player because he just never stopped running and had great skill.
So was Phil Driver.
And Phil Driver on the wing, yes.
And one good game, didn't he?
One good game.
Same as Peter Rose for
Alan. One good, didn't he, yeah.
One good game.
Alan Dickens, another
Gordon Davis never made your bad 11, though. I'm quite surprised.
Hattrick Everton.
Should we scoot off this? The other thing was to talk about was to use Dr. Mart's engineering skills here and to talk about the ground while you were here, the opportunity, the fact that they've released a statement, haven't they, Chelsea, that they're actually seeking opinions as to how they can go forward with the project of expanding the capacity.
Mm.
But at the moment, it appears to be this emphasis on access. What is the reason for? Is access hugely important in order, because you have to make the stand can't become bigger unless there's access to the stand. Is this health and safety?
Yes, it's to do with fire regs and means of escape, evacuation times. If you've got a stand full of people, there are time limits and how long it has to take to clear the people. I couldn't give you the numbers, but I know there's a certain time you have to get everybody out of the ground in the case of a fire.
Right.
It's the same with things like underground stations. It's all about evacuation times. That's how they design the things. So actually putting the extra seats into the site where Stamford Bridge is now is probably not a massive problem. More of a problem is getting people in and out of those seats.
Right.
So I did a scheme in my spare time. Call me a train spotter, if you will. but this was, I did this in 2011. It was at the time when Chelsea pitch owners were trying to get involved with all this kind of stuff, which is fair enough because they do actually own the ground.
Yes.
and I don't know if you can see this, but this was a little sketch that, which camera are we on? This was a sketch that I did, and I'm showing we need to put some decking over the railway lines here behind the east stand. We need to put some decking over the railway lines the other way, going towards Fulham Broadway, so people can walk out those routes. We need to buy a little strip of the land of the car park, just of the supermarket, just by West Brompton Station, so people can actually come out of the ground and go straight to West Brompton. So if they're going one way, they can go there, and if they're going south, they can go to Fulham Broadway. Just some options, and they can also obviously use the routes that we use now, going out the three entrances onto the Fulham Road.
Yes.
The other advantage of decking over the railway behind the east stand would be, I know it's listed, but if you demolished that east stand, you could move the whole thing further back over the railway and probably get more seats in there as well.
But didn't they make an announcement that if they were to demolish it, you'd have less capacity than you had at the moment because...
In the news.
No, I won't do it yet. No. How long have I got? 5 minutes.
I don't quite believe that because the way a stand is built, if you think about a football stand, the seats are tiered. So underneath at the back, you've got a space here, and that's where you create your accesses. Mm. So you have vomitory stairs, they're called vomitory stairs, that go down into that space, and you can get people out.
As in a vomitorium.
Heading onto Fulham Road, there's up capacity, isn't it, in terms of people getting onto Fulham Road?
Yes, that's the whole idea of getting people out to West Brompton and also directly into Fulham Broadway.
Yeah.
Create a walkway over the tracks into Fulham Broadway Station.
Around,
Yeah, and I did some sort of phased thing, you know, you demolish the east stand first, move it back there, turn the pitch through 90 degrees, and then you do the north stand, which we like to call the Matty Harding, and then the shed end, and obviously you could get more capacity in there if you could demolish the Bates Motel as well, and finally...
And the chances of that are slim though, aren't they, because he'll want millions, or is that the case, or is that just an apocryphal story, is that just made up?
There's a price for everything, isn't there, to be honest?
Yeah, it's true. There's also that I was reading the communication you were having that you sent me was that somebody had thought there was going to be a tunnel underneath the cemetery in case of fire or something, that this was brought up as an option, whereas it didn't appear to be anything that was ever discussed.
If you have a fire, you have to have an assembly point, so I suppose
it's a thought.
But if you had the walkway over the railway, you wouldn't need the tunnel. So just a bit of work that I did. Sure, in my mind, that it's possible. What we don't know at the moment is what the club are actually up to. Because CPO have put out a statement to say as much, despite the fact that they're the owners of the ground.
But they're doing this...
They don't actually know what the club are up to.
They're asking about the area, because the difficulty they had before was people weren't willing to discuss this walkways and whatever. So, anyway, this is more. We could talk about that more, because this is a really interesting thing. Like, when you're next on the show, perhaps we should ask Chidge to do it. Anyway, here's some news. Next SGM of the Chelsea Supporters Trust be held on the 21st of February after the Burnley match in the downstairs bar of the Finborough Arms.
Members only.
5:45. Members only. You have to £5. There'll be a special guest, PC Paul Wright, a.k.a. Goggles of the Football Intelligence Unit. It's members only, so if you want to come along and sign up to the Trust for only £5, you can do so at the website, chelseasupporterstrust.com. Now, CFC UK, this month's issue is now out, will be available at the CFC UK stall opposite Fulham Broadway Tube at all home games, including the Everton game and away games. If you can't get it there, you can always get it by get it digitally by subscribing online at cfcuk.net or via colonialdistribution.com in Canada and the US. Now, Canna's Down Under, Canna's tour, the great Canna's, sweet, lovely man. Paul Cannaville, Australia tour dates. Our mate King Canners will be meeting Chelsea supporters at various events in Australia in March and April. He'll be in Adelaide on Saturday the 21st of March, Sydney Friday the 27th of March, Melbourne Saturday 28th of March, Perth Saturday the 4th of April. For more information on these events, email adelaide@chelseaaustralia.com. It's on the picture there. Gareth Hemmings at hotmail.com, melbourne@chelseaaustralia.com, or Aussie Dawn, that's O-S-S-I-E rather than A-U-S-I-E, O-S-S-I-E, at optusnet.com.au. And Canna's is doing an event a bit closer to home, doing a Q&A at the Monty in Montpellier Place, Brighton, on Thursday of the month, March the 5th at 7.30. Tickets £5 on the door. A few questions for me. Frank Lampard, 1996. Did Jonathan Kidd play in a movie? Because he reminds me of someone. Well, I've been in several movies. And if you get the urge, go to jonathankidd.com and you'll find a bit of information about me, a few films I've done and made actually myself and written. Rami says, bring Sophie back. Well, I think it's very likely that she will be back, but she's in Paris for the PSG game and probably back on Monday and will then be telling stories about her drinking exploits and the fact that she never saw the game and spent most of it asleep under a blanket. Adil Sahai, love the show. Mr. Kidd is doing a great job. Oh, thank you, thank you. Stay thank safe. You, Adil. Handsworth 101, who just found out about this fancast, really love it. How do you view it live? Well, indeed.
Hope you are.
Indeed, as if you are. Make sure you send us some good stories and photos, emailing the show during the week at chelseafancast@gmail.com. And that's all we have time for this week. We'll be back next Monday, the 23rd of February. Look back at the PSG and Burnley games. Don't forget to follow the show on Twitter at Chelsea Fancast. Make sure you check out the great blogs on our website, chelseafancast.com. We can also find all the information on how to watch, listen, download the show. So many thanks to my excellent, fantastic guests this week, as always.
Any
Charlie
pleasure.
Skillen, Dr. Martin's Boots, Dan Silver, Gaffer not here, didn't even appear, and Andy Silverman. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Until then, keep it blue, keep it carefree, and keep it Chelsea.
Up the Chelsea. It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.